third and four for the Eagles here. Murphy and shotgun. Here's the snap. He rolls left. He throws.
WZBC Sports.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to a WZBC Sports podcast. This is Season 3, Episode 2. I'm Jack Salmon, and I'm joined by
Matt Marosco here.
And we're going to be doing a football recap, I guess. We're a little bit more than halfway through the season. We're just BC just coming off their bye week. Right now we have 4 games left on the schedule, so we're a little over halfway. We're going to kind of recap how the season's gone for the Eagles and what we can expect down the stretch.
Absolutely. So the first couple games of the season, like with most major sports, not the most competitive games you've ever seen. We played some non-conference tune-up games. We started off the season with a 55-21 win against UMass and followed that up with a 62-14 win over Holy Cross. And then the big game, you know, to this point of the season at least, I would consider it the high watermark, and I think you would agree.
Yeah.
A win at Wake Forest. We beat the Demon Deacons 41-34, despite giving them, you know, a short field on a couple possessions. And this was really the game that kind of put BC where we expected them to be at the start of the season, kind of at the forefront of the ACC and on the fringes of the national stage.
Yeah, it showed what we expected, what we knew this team was capable of. It showed that the offense was ready to take a next step up from last year, you know, putting up 41 points. We'll get into it more, but that was Anthony Brown's real breakout game. He had 5 touchdown passes, over 300 yards passing. He set his career records. I think in that game also he like broke a Matt Ryan record for most touchdown passes through 3 games. So that's, you know, the offense was clicking and we were like, wow, look what this team can be.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, along those same lines, following that game, BC really was on the national stage. We broke the top 25 for the first time since the Matt Ryan, Luke Kuechly era.
Yeah.
And you know, national news outlets, Bleacher Report, their headline college football article was Boston College's offense is sneakily elite. And they talked a lot about Boston College. And, you know, really, the season was going the way we had expected it to go and the way kind of we'd all hoped it would go.
Yeah.
And then it took a turn for the worse a little bit.
Yeah, took a tough turn. So, like Matt said, we get ranked for the first time in how many years was it? Do you remember? I think it was, I want to say 7.
Yeah.
It had been a while since BC had been in the top 25. We get ranked at number 23 in the nation, and we go into Purdue to play the – as I said it earlier, I think a lot of people said it, but the best 0-3 team in college football at that point, they were 0-3. They were hungry for a win. It was their homecoming night, I believe. We went in there, and we got rocked, to put it lightly.
Yeah, it wasn't a pretty game. That game, A.J. Dillon threw all his interceptions for the season in that
Anthony
game.
Brown.
Anthony Brown, excuse me. Yeah, Anthony Brown threw all his interceptions for the season that game. And BC, you know, we lost that game 30-13, and you have to think that for as good as Purdue might have been, that's still a game that you don't expect to lose. And I think, you know, it's tough to remain focused going on the road. You just won your first big conference road game. Now to go on the road to an 0-3 team and to keep your head on straight and to not look beyond that game, you have our homecoming game the next weekend and then a game at NC State, who is borderline top 25 at the time.
Right.
It's difficult to stay focused, and I think that lack of focus really showed up. You know, it was a sloppy game. There were some penalties.
It was sloppy on all ends of the ball. I mean, I think, who was it? That game was on ESPN. I remember watching it. And Adazio, they interviewed him at halftime. And he said, you know, we've done some of the dumbest things I've ever seen on all sides of the ball. I mean, the quarterback play wasn't great. And the thing with our offense is when the quarterback play isn't going well, even when it is going well, you know BC's offense is going to be a heavy dose of A.J. Dillon, right? And Purdue was ready for it.
Yeah.
I think A.J. Dillon that game had 40 or 50 yards rushing. Purdue was ready for A.J. They just loaded up the box, and they stopped him. They contained the run. And Anthony Brown was just very inefficient that game. Like you said, Matt, all 4 of his interceptions on this year were in that one game. His QBR in that game was 1.7, just to really put emphasis on how bad he was in that game. And, you know, it definitely stung coming off the game before where he throws, you know, 5 touchdown passes, no picks, and 300-something yards. It was just really the two extremes there. But, yeah, I mean, just all sides of the ball. The quarterback play wasn't good. The running back play wasn't good. The defense. The defense was.
Gave up 30 points.
Yeah, I mean, 30
Purdue.
Points. Not what you want to see.
So, yeah, and to go off that a little bit, you came into the season and everybody knew who A.J. Dillon was. At least around here, everybody knew who A.J. Dillon was.
No,
and
no.
You knew that you were going to get a big dose of A.J. Dillon. And really, what we were thinking going into the season was teams are going to game plan for A.J. Dillon.
Yep.
And
yeah.
If we're going to be successful, it's not going to be on the legs of A.J. Dillon, but it's going to be on the arm of Anthony Brown.
Absolutely.
And when Brown can make throws into single coverage, into single high safety looks, that's when we're going to win. And that's exactly what he did. Give him all the credit in the world. That's exactly what he did against Wake Forest.
He was very, yeah.
And we won that game. He threw 5 touchdown passes. Wake Forest and Purdue essentially had the same game plan. You know, load the box. Don't let A.J. Dillon beat you. Don't let the guy who's, you know, going to be a top 10 finisher for the Heisman be the person to beat you. Make Anthony Brown beat you with his arm. And, you know, some games he can, and some games he wasn't able to. And
exactly.
I think that's the case with the Purdue game.
Right, no, for sure. And just going along with that, when Anthony Brown's able to beat you with his arm, and when you can, like, disguise these plays, these bootlegs, these fake handoffs and all that, then that makes the defense more honest, and you can't necessarily load the box. You have to respect the pass more, and then A.J. Dillon can have a much better game. So they kind of work with each other. But, yeah, no, like you said, everybody knew going into the season, not just here, because A.J. Dillon is getting a reputation throughout college football. Everyone knows that this offense is run through A.J. Dillon. BC has been a ground-and-pound offense for years now, and now we have one of the best backs in college football. You know what you're going to get. And so the real question was whether or not if A.J. Dillon's been slowed down or if teams are going to game plan the run, they know it's coming, can the passing play, can Anthony Brown take us that next step over, right? Can we turn a corner? And in that Purdue game, we definitely didn't. There was the passing play was just atrocious, really.
Yeah, and we'll, you know, talk more about this as we go on. But I think the jury is still out whether or not we can consistently win, you know, with the passing game, and whether or not the passing game can consistently take the pressure off A.J. Dillon.
Yeah.
And allow him to, you know, run when there's not 10 guys in the box.
Yeah, I think the story of that is just inconsistency, really, because one week we see the really good, the next week we see the really bad. It's not necessarily consistent. And, yeah, we'll get into this more. But anyway, that was week 4, so BC, that was their first loss of the season at Purdue. They were now 3-1. They were out of the top 25. And so then, as Matt said, we had our homecoming game versus Temple, a game that we won 43-35, probably closer than we would have liked. But give Temple credit, they did just knock off a previously undefeated Cincinnati, who was in the top 25. So a sneaky good team. But the big news out of this game was A.J. Dillon left the game with an ankle injury that ended up costing him half of that Temple game and then the next 2 games in the schedule. And there were also a lot of targeting calls. I don't know if you want to talk about that more, Matt.
Yeah, so it was a pretty physical game. There were a lot of targeting calls, and I think part of the reason why we gave up so many points to this Temple team was the ejection of Lucas Dennis, who is kind of the nervous system of our defense, if you will. He's the defensive play caller. But it was a great game. It was a back-and-forth game, and I give all the credit in the world, despite giving up 30-plus points to Temple, I give all the credit in the world to our defense. BC jumped out to an early 14-0 lead in this game, and then about halfway through the first quarter, they just stopped. And Temple dominated the football game from about halfway through the first quarter to halfway through the second quarter.
Yeah.
And it was at that point that I believe it was Hamp Cheevers made an interception, gave BC a short field. We were able to score, and then from that point on, BC really took off and was able to take control of this game. And that game, like we mentioned, that's the game that A.J. Dillon went down, but it also showed us a lot about the other guys on this team.
Yeah.
It showed us a lot about the offensive line and how good they are. Ben Glines came in, and he was unreal. He rushed for over 100 yards that game in a quarter and a half. So I think that that's a big testament to the depth of this team, and it was a really good bounce back win. It was very easy. It could have been very easy for this team to fold. You just came off a loss at a team that was previously 0-3. You just dropped out of the top 25. And now you're down to Temple at home, and it's very easy. You know, you could tell that the air in the stadium a little bit, the feeling in the stadium was that the sky is falling.
Yeah.
You know?
Is this really happening? You know?
Yeah, and give BC all the credit in the world. They were able to bounce back and win that football game. And then they had their first, or I should say their next, really big road test at NC State.
Yeah, so, as Matt said, that, you know, we were looking forward from the Purdue game, they were a potential top 25. In this game, they were. They were number 23 in the nation. So coming in at 4-1, going up against a ranked opponent, this gave coming in at 3-1. No, it was 4-1.
4-1.
Coming in at 4-1, a chance to beat another ranked opponent, just to kind of put the spotlight back on us to show that, you know, this BC team was legit. We were here to play, that the Purdue loss was a fluke. So we go into NC State, and BC ultimately loses a close game, 28-23. But really the story of the game was the two halves of football. In the first half, and really from the first half into the end of the third quarter, it was pretty much all NC State. With a minute and 30 left in the third quarter, NC State was up 28-3. And it just seemed all but over. Nothing was going right for the BC offense. Again, as we were saying, it was one of those inconsistent days on offense. Anthony Brown wasn't at his best. A.J. Dillon was out. And then all of a sudden, a flip switched. Like, BC all of a sudden was like, okay, we want to win this game, right? Let's go out and win the game. Let's try now. And so BC cranks off 20 unanswered points going into the fourth quarter, ultimately comes up 5 points short in what was a really gut-wrenching loss due to a very controversial fumble with, I believe, it was under 2 minutes left to play. BC had the ball. They were about to score around, like, the five-yard line. It was a handoff. I want to say it was to David Bailey.
Yeah, or if it was on the goal line, it was probably to David Bailey.
It was Bailey. I think it might have been Levy, but I believe it was to David Bailey, and it was just a big pile, which we're used to seeing A.J. Dillon in, right? Because he never goes down. He keeps his leg moving, and he can gain an extra, like, 5 yards when the play seems
dead. Yeah, absolutely, and every once in a while, you're always going to break out of that pile.
Exactly. We have that big pile at the five-yard line, and it's not really moving. It's stagnant, and the refs don't blow the whistle. They let the play keep going on and keep going on, and all of a sudden, as the pile, like, collapses and starts to fall, the ball comes out, and NC State has it. And so in a play that seemed to be dead, it seemed like it should have been whistled dead. There was no forward momentum gained for a solid couple of seconds there. Adazio was irate on the sidelines, as he should have been. Really, really looks like the refs could have cost us there. But at the end of the day, you can't blame the refs when BC doesn't really – when you only score 3 points through three quarters, right? But, again, it showed – that last quarter showed our potential. It showed how good this team can be. And especially to flip on a dime like that and to do it without A.J. Dillon, who's been the heart of our offense now for, you know, a season and a half. So it showed that potential, which makes it all that much harder to watch, really, knowing that we could have beat this team. If we had played like that for the whole game, if we had played like that for two quarters, we could have beat this team. But because we only played, you know, at that high level of intensity for a little over a quarter, we were just unable to come back from the hole we dug ourselves into. So that was a disappointing loss. Again, against a ranked opponent on the road, there would have been a lot of pluses coming out of that game. But so another tough loss that put BC down to 4-2, heading into a home game with Louisville.
Yeah, and this is a game with Louisville that you really expect to win. This is Louisville, for as good as they've been the last 6 or 8 years, this is not a team that's a traditional powerhouse.
Yeah,
this is not a Clemson. This is not an NC State. This is not a University of Miami. This is a team, much like Baylor, when they had Robert Griffin III. This is a team that was lucky. I shouldn't say lucky, but they were fortunate enough to have two very, very good quarterbacks back to back and to kind of assert themselves on the national stage.
Yeah.
Those guys are gone now. They're in the NFL. So this is a game that you really want to win. Louisville came off a heartbreaking loss to Florida State the week before, and it was a great game. And this game was close. BC was actually down at points in the first quarter, and it would have been a bad loss. I think it's safe to say that this would have been a bad loss, given the expectations that the team had going into the year. Thankfully, BC was able to rebound at the end of the second quarter and carry that momentum into the second half and come away with a 38-20 win over Louisville. And again, I think give credit to the offensive line. You can really plug in running backs right now, and they'll get the job done. Ben Glines had another good game. And Anthony Brown was better. He was better than he had been in some of the previous games, especially in the losses. So that kind of sets us up now for the bye week and the Red Bandana game that we're looking ahead to this Friday against the University of Miami.
Yeah, so big game, Red Bandana game, always the biggest game of the year here at Boston College. Always a Friday night. It's on national television. There's always a great opponent. So this year we're playing Miami. So the University of Miami, they're also sitting at 5-2 coming off a bye. They lost their most recent game to a UVA team, kind of a a very disappointing loss for Miami,
yeah,
right?
Not a game you want to lose.
Not a game you want. This is a Miami team that at the beginning of the season had college playoff hopes, right? This is a team, I don't know what they ended last year as. They played in a New Year's Six Bowl. They lost to Wisconsin, but they had a very good year last year. They were looking to build on that. They were looking to show that they were a powerhouse again. They lose their first game to LSU. They crank off 5 wins in a row and then lose a rough one to UVA. But this is still a very, very good team. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. The big thing with this Miami game is they are starting their senior quarterback, Malik Rozier. He was benched 2 games in a row, which Miami won, and then he started the game against UVA over their really good young freshman. He started the UVA game, ends up getting pulled halfway through because he's just not getting anything done, and Miami ultimately loses. But Miami said they're sticking with him, which could be good for us, right? This guy struggled. They're sticking with him. Another note on Miami, they have allowed the fewest total yards of offense out of any college football team this season. The turnover chain is there for a reason. They have a great defense, which is definitely scary considering how the offense can either be on or off, right? So it's definitely going to be a very big test, and this is like I've been kind of saying here, this is a Miami team that's hungry. They want to be better than 5-2. They're coming off a loss. They're going to be pissed off that they lost to an unranked UVA team. But at the same time, the atmosphere is going to be crazy. You know the BC guys are going to be up for this. We're 5-2. They're 5-2. This is a win. If BC can win this game, you know, it puts us back on the map, gains a lot more national attention, like I said, on national TV. So there's a lot to take away from this, Matt. I don't know if you want to add to that or what else you want to say.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to say a couple things, especially about Miami in particular. They are on the coastal side of the ACC, which is the weaker side of the ACC. And I think that last year, I think you saw kind of that this team was a little bit of a mirage almost. People were claiming that the U was back, but it's easy to look like you're back when you're playing the likes of Pittsburgh and University of North Carolina in football, at least. Basketball is a different story, obviously. So like Jack mentioned earlier, this team does have a dominant defense. They've given up the least amount of yards in the NCAA this year.
Yeah.
That being said, they have not exactly played the most difficult schedule. After a week one loss to an LSU team that has been dominant for the majority of this year. A very good team. And they beat Miami pretty badly. Miami then went on to play Savannah State, Toledo, FIU, UNC Chapel Hill, and a struggling Florida State team. So it's easy for them to look good right now coming to this game. And I'm not saying that they're not a good team or this isn't going to be a tough game for BC.
Right.
They certainly are a good team. This certainly will be a tough game. But I also think that those stats need to be taken with a grain of salt. You know, BC's offense, for as good as Toledo may be at football, BC's offense is a different animal. And I think that we have the ability to put up some points against this Miami team and kind of show that BC, one, BC is for real, and two, Miami might not be as good as they appear to be on paper. And I don't know about Jack, but I certainly think that BC is able to come away with a win in this game.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Like you're saying, Miami's a bit of a fraud. We can go out and say it. We'll label them as a fraud.
Yeah.
They've played some weak teams. They're kind of overrated because of that. Look, the Red Bandana game is always the most hype game of the year. You know our team's going to be ready. And you know, as much as they say, you know, we only look one game at a time, you know this game's probably been circled for a while. This was the game against the big team, the first real test for this BC team, because, you know, Miami last year was so good, you know, on the verge of college football playoffs. BC's wanted this game for a while because they want to prove that they're ready to make that next step and that they deserve some national recognition for how good this team really is. I agree with you, Matt. I think this is a game BC can win. Look, they've had the bye. They're going to get a very healthy A.J. Dillon. He's had plenty of time. He's going to be 100%. So I think all things considered, just with the atmosphere that's going to be there, we know BC's been ready. We know they've wanted this game. They want to be able to prove that they belong with the top dogs. They belong in the top tier of ACC teams. I think they'll be ready, and I think they 100% can win this game. I think the key really is going to be which offense shows up. Are we going to have the offense where Anthony Brown is efficient and completing passes and the passing game is a factor that Miami has to consider? Or are we going to get an offense where the passing game isn't really there? Because if the passing game's not there, Miami knows what's coming, and they're going to be able to stop the run, and BC is going to be unsuccessful.
Yeah, and I think that we are going to get the good passing game. I think we're going to get a good BC defense. I think Wyatt Ray, Zach Allen, I think they're going to put pressure on Malik Rozier. I think that Hamp Cheevers is going to have a big game. I think that that the defense is going to come out fired up. And I say that because I think that defense especially, it's so much grit and hustle, and defense more than offense, I think, can really feed off of a crowd.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's going to be a big crowd to feed off of this Friday night at the Red Bandana game. And I'll also say this. I think that the offense, I have confidence in the offense going into this game, and here's why. I think that because it's the Red Bandana game, Coach Adazio is ready to pull out all the stops. We saw it last year. Yeah. There was an end around that led to a wide receiver throwing a touchdown pass to a tight end. So I think that even if the offense starts out stagnant, I think that this is a game that you pull out all the stops where you're on national TV, you're playing a team, whether or not they're good, it's a brand name. It's a household name. It's a football school. So I have all the confidence in the world in BC going into this game, and I think that we are able to come out of here with a win. I think that the offensive and defensive lines both feed off the crowd. The offensive line creates big holes for A.J. Dillon. I think that Anthony Brown, whether or not he's on his game right from kickoff, or whether it takes, you know, a trick play, a spark, right, a big energy play.
A quarter or two, yeah.
Yeah, I think that we're going to get the job done, and I think that that's going to set up a very interesting matchup against Clemson the following week.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, got to slow down a little bit. Va Tech the next week. But I agree with you, Matt. I think that this is a very winnable game for Boston College, and it's a game that I expect them to win. Look, they're going to be fired up. We know BC can play at a high level. We've seen it during the Wake Forest game. We saw it for a quarter down in NC State. And in this atmosphere, I expect BC will be playing at that high level for, if not the whole game, most of it. So I'm expecting a BC win. They're ready to prove something. They're ready to show everyone they belong with the top dogs in the ACC. So following this game, regardless of what happens, BC will then go down to play in Virginia Tech, which is always a very difficult road game. Virginia Tech was pretty highly ranked early on in the season. They're unranked now. They fell out. They had some losses, I believe. I know they lost to Notre Dame at home. There might have been another one. There might have been a loss to Clemson. I'm not positive.
I believe it was Old Dominion, actually.
Oh, you're right. Old Dominion had the upset win, yeah. And they also lost the big one to Notre Dame. But still, a very good Virginia Tech team. They were ranked, I believe, 12th in the nation. They're very good. It's going to be on the road. It's going to be a tough atmosphere. It's going to be a very tough game, bottom line.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough game. I think that one thing that you have to look for as a BC fan is the health of the Virginia Tech quarterback who went down with an injury. And that's when they proceeded to lose to Old Dominion. They were able to bounce back with a 31-14 win at a Duke team that was at the time a top 25 team. But I think that this game, going into this year, especially after watching Virginia Tech Week 1 absolutely dismantle Florida State, this was a game that you said, yeah, I don't want to get my hopes up for.
Yeah, exactly.
But now, especially given what happens, if you're coming off a win against the University of Miami and you still have that Clemson game looming the week after the Virginia Tech game, Clemson at home is the following weekend, I think that there is a chance for a BC win in this game, and I think that the game will be competitive, to say the least. Especially, you know, you have to look at it too, what Virginia Tech did coming into BC night game last year, and they beat BC pretty badly.
Oh, they handed it to us, yeah.
And I think that these players remember it, and that was a turning point, I think, in last year's season for BC, and I think they're hoping that this game can kind of be a turning point for their season again this year, and they're hoping that, you know, they can kind of give Virginia Tech some of their own medicine here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, if you come off a win versus Miami, you're going to be fired up. You're going to be rolling. And even if you come off that Miami game with a loss, you know these boys are also going to be fired up. Like Matt said, this isn't a game where I was excited when I looked at the schedule, you know, seeing we're playing down in Virginia Tech late in the season. But also, yeah, like you said, that loss last year turned it around. Maybe, you know, a win against Miami, all of a sudden this team gets rolling towards the end of the season, like happened last year. Remember when it all came together and it was beautiful, like Adazio said. This team got rolling towards in the second half of the season last year. It could happen again this year. But that will definitely be a very tough task for this BC team. And then the week after that will be an even bigger task. It will be another crazy Saturday up here on Chestnut Hill, as right now the number two team in the nation, Clemson, will come up here to play Boston College.
Yeah, and this is a game that we've had circled for a while here on Chestnut Hill.
Yeah.
For different reasons. At the beginning of the year, especially after the Wake Forest game, the college football game day rumors started to circulate.
Yeah.
And they took a pretty big hit with the Purdue loss. But either way, this is a game where the students are going to show up.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is a game that's going to be – it's going to be a crazy atmosphere. And you know that the players are ready for it.
Absolutely.
They hung with this Clemson team. It was a tie game.
They hung with them for three quarters in Death Valley last year.
Yeah, and you know what? The offense was struggling to move the ball, and rightfully so. Clemson has one of the best defenses. Clemson has
arguably the best, maybe behind Bama, but...
Yeah, one of the best defenses in college football, especially last year they had an unreal...
Yeah, I mean, all that whole defense is probably going pro.
Yeah, so, and that, you know, we couldn't move the ball, so our defense was out there for you know, the vast majority of the first three quarters, and they tired. It's hot down there in Death Valley, obviously. They call it that for a reason. But this game against Clemson, I think I'm excited for this game, and it's going to be a tall order. It's going to be a very tall order. But I think if BC wants to show, again, if they want to show that they belong, and this is going to show how far this program has come in the Addazio era, and there are certain matchups, too, that you can look at this game and say, yeah, BC does have an advantage here. One of them that I think is really important to note, the tall wide receivers. Three quarters of our pass catchers, are in tight ends and wide receivers, are taller than 6'2".
Yep.
And that is a huge advantage against a very small Clemson secondary. If you look at a Clemson game when they went to Texas A&M, they escaped with the win that game. They won by a point. And the reason why they were able to escape with the win that – or the reason why that game was so close, I should say, Clemson was clearly the more talented team, but Texas A&M has a bunch of very big, very athletic receivers, and they were just throwing jump balls up to them all game, and it kept Texas A&M in the game. And I think that's something you really need to look for. Can these wide receivers, our wide receivers, Kobe White, Jeff Smith, can they win one-on-one battles on the outside against smaller secondary players from Clemson and keep BC competitive in this football game? And I think the longer you stick around, the better it is for BC, because if you stick around, the crowd's going to stick around. And then the longer you believe that you can actually win this game, the more likely it is that you're going to be able to find a way to win this game at the end at home.
Yeah, no, for sure. What you said about the receivers is a really good point. It also comes down to Anthony Brown's going to have to be on his game. And I think the offensive play calling is going to have to trust Anthony Brown more in that game. I think for BC to win that game, we can't run our traditional style of offense where the first quarter or two we just run, and then all of a sudden we start throwing in some play-action passes. I think, you know, we have to come out firing at this Clemson team. Their defense is incredible. We know that. But if we come out firing and maybe catch them on their heels early on, we can, you know, establish that we're here to play. Is this a game that I expect BC to win? No. Clemson is number two in the nation for a reason. They're an incredible team. Would this be a statement win for Addazio and for this team that had incredibly high hopes this year? Absolutely. Could they beat them? Yeah, they 100% could. Given if everything goes right, BC is going to have to play probably a perfect game, or like a 98% There can't be many mistakes. There can't be any turnovers, right? The defense is going to have to be spot on. They're going to have to probably force a couple turnovers. BC is going to have to play its best game of the season to date. But when we've seen BC at their best, this is an elite football team, and we know they can hang with some of the better teams out there. And this would be a great way to prove that. And it should be a tough test. It's definitely something that BC could win, and it's something that we're looking forward to, something that most BC football fans are looking forward to.
Absolutely, and I think one other thing that's really important to look at here is Clemson's track record of losing these kind of games over the past couple of years. You're not always – Clemson, when they're playing a Miami, when they're playing in the college football playoff, they're going to bring out their A game, but they've shown the last several years that they are subject to not go all in for these quote-unquote trap games.
Yeah.
And if you can catch them on that day, I have no doubt in my mind that we could beat them. But the question is, you know, will we be able to catch them on their off day, and will we be able to execute at a level high enough to make up for what is a – there's a talent gap there. There's no two ways about it. So can we execute enough to make up for that talent gap? And only time will tell. But I'll just say this now. If we win that game, we are in first place in the Atlantic side of the ACC. So Clemson's undefeated right now. We have one loss. We would have a tiebreaker with Clemson.
Assuming NC State loses, because they have the tiebreaker on us.
How would that work?
I don't. Well, they beat us.
No, I know, but we beat Clemson. Clemson beat NC State.
That's interesting. I think if we're tied, but they'd have one loss as well.
Yeah. So anyway, that's a long way off. Still have games to
honestly
win.
A pipe dream for now. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Time will tell. We can't get too far. We can't just start assuming Clemson wins here. Should be a great game. Yeah. Should be a very tough test. And then after that, final game of the season, home game against Syracuse. A pretty good Syracuse team. They got off to, I think, like a 4-0 start or something.
Yeah, they were very good.
Their quarterback, Eric Dungy, normally prone to injury, has stayed healthy, and their offense has moved the ball well. Last year, BC went into Syracuse, into the Dome, and just dismantled them for the last game of the regular season. That kind of went along with how BC got better as the season went on last year. We went into the Dome just firing on all cylinders, and I believe we put up like 48 points.
Yeah.
We dropped a ton of points on them. So, again, this should be a good game. It's a home game. It's over Thanksgiving break, so you got to assume there won't be that many people at the stadium, especially on the student side of things. Again, should be a difficult task, but a game you would expect Boston College to win.
Yeah, it's definitely a game you expect BC to win. So I think realistically, I'm just going to give some predictions here. Just, you know, total record for the end of the year. I say we beat Miami. I don't think we're able to go into Virginia Tech and win, and I don't realistically see us beating Clemson. So I think we finish out the year 2-2, finish it as a 7-win team.
7-4, that'd be.
Which would not be not a bad record at all, not a bad season at all for a Boston College team that really, you know, is kind of starting to see the fruits of several years of rebuilding.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm gonna give them an 8-3 rank. I think out of the Miami, Vautech, Clemson, they take 2 of 3. I'm assuming that Miami game is gonna be a win, and I think they can get it done in Virginia Tech. I think Clemson at home is a very tall task. Yes, it could happen. We could beat them, but a lot of stuff's going to have to go right. But I think in Virginia Tech, yeah, it's going to be a very, very difficult task. But I think this BC team, coming off a game against Miami, which we both think they can win, is going to be fired up, a chip on their shoulder, wanting to prove something going into the final couple games of the season. I think they could pull it off in Virginia Tech. And then Clemson and Syracuse, like I said, I expect to win. Either way, 8-3, 7-4, not bad seasons. They could end up 6-5, I guess, if you were to lose 2 of those 3. Would be a little bit unfortunate. Would still bowl eligible, of course. BC at 5-2 just needs one more win to be bowl eligible. So with most likely BC will be going bowling, barring a huge collapse down the second half. But you know, after last year and how you saw all the young pieces and BC kind of turn it around in the second half, you want to build on that. You want to do better than last year's record, which, what was last, was it 7-6? I'm not exactly 100% positive. I believe BC had 7 wins last year. We'll get it pulled up. But you want to build off what you do the year before.
7-6 overall. Yeah, so 4-4 in conference.
7-6 last year, 4-4 in conference. So you want to build off that. You want to, you know, show that improvement. So a 7-4 record or an 8-3 would be great. But anyway, yeah, I mean, maybe we can touch on some individual player stats and players who have stood out this year and wrap this podcast up. But let's first start talking about Anthony Brown, who in the first 3 games of the season looked like a legitimate Heisman candidate, even more so than his counterpart in A.J. Dillon. Through the first 3 games of the season, Anthony Brown had a QBR, an average QBR of 91. And to put that in perspective right now, that would make him the 3rd best quarterback according to QBR in college football, behind Tua down at Alabama and Kyler Murray at Oklahoma. So that was the level that he was playing at through those first 3 games. Granted, Holy Cross, UMass don't really count for much, but that Wake Forest game was a huge part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. That Wake Forest game was a huge part, but like we've mentioned earlier, this Purdue game was a turning point in the season. Since the Purdue game, which Anthony Brown had a quarterback rating of 1.7,
yep.
His season average has now dipped to 51.6, and he is now only 0.6 ahead of the UMass quarterback, and that's a UMass team that we were quite honestly making fun of a little bit earlier in the podcast. Yeah. So the level of play has dropped off to now, to an average. I would say an average level of play.
Yeah, he's below average, really, in ACC quarterbacks in terms of, if you're just looking at pure QBR, he's 9 out of 13 in the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's definitely, like we said, it's the inconsistency. He came out on fire, then he slowed down a lot. His QBR in the last 4 games since Purdue is only, his average QBR is, 32. So that's not the best. That's very bad, actually, because, you know, a 50s, you know, average quarterbacks. So he's been playing below average from that Purdue game and on. So, you know, we're looking for him to turn a corner. But again, it's the inconsistency thing. Especially just hurts seeing the level that he played at to start the season, knowing that's there. And, you know, if he can get back to that, or, you know, even just 3/4 of that down the stretch with a healthy A.J. Dillon, this team can do damage. And that's why I think they could win some of these big games.
Yeah, absolutely. So now moving on, you mentioned A.J. Dillon. A.J. Dillon, through the first 4 weeks of the season, had 652 rush yards and 6 touchdowns. through 4.5 games. Like we mentioned earlier, he was injured in the Temple game and only played the first half. That being said, he also only played one quarter against Holy Cross and only one half against UMass. So you can only imagine what his numbers would have been had he played the whole game there in both of those two contests. That being said, he's still averaging, obviously, over 100 yards a game and over a touchdown a game. And you look for him to come back, and now he's had 3 weeks rest. He's probably never been this rested midseason ever in his football career.
He's
going to
be very, very fresh.
He's going to be very, very fresh, and he's had more than enough time to nurse that ankle back to 100%. So I'm really looking forward to seeing a fresh A.J. Dillon in the backfield. And really now an A.J. Dillon who doesn't have to take all the carries because Ben Glines has shown just how effective he can be, as has Bailey and as has Levy.
Exactly. That's a big point that you mentioned there, that these other backs, while A.J. was gone, were able to fill the gap pretty well. You know, they weren't able to carry the ball at the level that A.J. Dillon does, but that's because he's one of the best backs in the nation. But knowing that we have, you know, three solid options behind him, you know, if we need to, you know, we don't want to give him the ball 40, 50 times a game. You know, that way we can afford to rest him and make sure he's okay and protect him a little bit more. I'm going to talk about the BC defense next. It's kind of been a mixed season for them, good and bad. So they're giving up on average 26 points per game, which isn't great. It's not really as good as we expected, especially considering how dominant that defense was last year. But at the same time, we did lose a lot of pieces last year, a lot of veteran guys to the NFL or just loss of eligibility. In terms of some players who have stood out on defense, on the other hand, Hamp Cheevers is second in the nation with 4 picks so far. So he's been a bright spot back there, as has Lucas Dennis. He's had a great season. And also Zach Allen up front has done what we expected. Zach Allen, he's an absolute monster. You will see him playing on Sundays next year. He will be a first round pick. But along with him, Wyatt Ray has emerged as one of the better players in college football, I would say. He's third in the nation in sacks, and he's been a monster.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100% with both those statements. I think that you're looking at a defense right now that is full of future NFL players, and it's a defense that, you know, despite giving up the points per game, 26, one, they've been able to afford to do that for the most part because BC's offense has been very good throughout most of the season. And two, you have these individual performers. We have 11 picks on the year, which is a great number through 5 games.
Yeah.
And, or 7 games, excuse me. And like we mentioned, Hamp Cheevers is second in the nation in interceptions. Wyatt Ray is third in the nation in sacks. So the secondary pairing of Hamp Cheevers and Lucas Dennis is as good as there is in the country. And I would say that the edge rushers of Wyatt Ray and Zach Allen are as good as there is in the country.
You're not going to find better than those two.
No, you're not going to find better than those two at all. So I think that this defense, too, as the season progresses, and again, we're saying as the season progresses, there's 4 games left.
Right.
But in these last 4 games, I think, you know, coming off the bye week, I think that these tandems are going to start to show up more and are going to really start to lock down on defense. And I think that this team really is going to click going down the stretch.
Yeah, no, I agree. In terms of special teams, so one thing that we've seen a lot more of this year, we've seen a lot of fumbles on special teams, and we've blocked also punts. Seen a lot of blocked punts, as Matt mentions. I believe we had a stretch of, what was the blocked punts thing? Was it like 2 games in a row or 3? We've seen more than we've needed to, that's for sure.
Yeah, we had 2 blocked punts against Holy Cross and then a blocked punt against Wake Forest. But since then, special teams has cleaned up. Walker is one of the best return guys in the country. He averages 23 yards per return on kickoffs and 13 yards per return on punt returns. And he's always, always a threat to take one all the way to the house.
Yeah, the only thing with him I would point out, he has been a little inconsistent. He's fumbled in a couple of games now, which I don't know if we saw him fumble at all last year.
Yeah, that is true.
So it's just you don't expect to see it. Hopefully that's out of his system now, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway. And, you know, you saw BC kind of turned the tables, and we actually forced a block punt against NC State that really kind of sparked the comeback a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
In that game. And then the kicking game has settled down. We were switching between several kickers to start the year with our starter Lichtenberg out. He has since returned, and he is just pure talent-wise, he's as good as there is, and it's just a matter of keeping him healthy for Boston College. And as long as he stays healthy, we will have a relatively consistent kicking game.
Yeah, I mean, the kicking game of Boston College has always been kind of interesting. I feel like what's a normal BC game without a missed extra point or missed field goal, right? It hasn't been consistent. Lichtenberg has had his ups and downs. He's had injury issues. earlier in this year, it was a rotating door of kickers. We had Tessitore in there. We had Lichtenberg in there for a little bit. We had the third place kicker in there. Dazio was just rotating guys around. But yeah, Lichtenberg's been back in for the last couple of games. He's looked better. He's hit some longer field goals. So hopefully that consistency can stay there down the stretch. And then wide receivers, just to mention, our wide receivers are having great years, which goes along with Anthony Brown having 14 passing touchdowns and being so efficient early on, right? These wide receivers were the beneficiaries of that. Kobe White's been great. Jeff Smith has been great. Tommy Sweeney, a tight end you'll see in the NFL, right? Our senior tight end. So these guys are all having great years. I want to add to that, Matt, real quick before we wrap it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Just really fast before we wrap it up. Those guys have had great years, and I think that, you know, it goes both ways. I think that Anthony Brown has certainly benefited from having these tall, athletic wide receivers running routes for him and going up and making plays for him. And at the same time, they've benefited, you know, from Anthony Brown, his improved pocket passing, which he has improved greatly as a pocket passer. And, yeah, so I think that that really does sum up kind of a relationship where both sides have benefited a little bit from the skill set of the other.
For sure, for sure. So, yeah, that's our wrap-up. That's our thoughts on BC football through 7 games so far this season. We got 4 games left. Make sure you guys tune in to watch the Miami Red Bandana game this Friday. It's on ESPN. It's going to be a huge game. Great opportunity for BC. I think that's the best way to put it. It's a great opportunity to make a statement. And we know they're capable of it. We know they can do it. It's just a matter of can they execute. Make sure to tune into that. And final 4 games of the season could be exciting. There's a lot of big games, but we know what this BC team is capable of. And other than that, guys, thanks for tuning in. And make sure to check us out on WZBC Sports. And, yeah, that's Jack. I'm signing off.
Matt, thanks for listening, guys.
Peace out.
Make a nice little pass over to Sanford. Sanford gives it to Tuck. Tuck with a shot.
Oh! Oh!
Tuck scores. Eagles win. The Eagles have won the 2016 Bean Bunt Championship.
Catch all the excitement of Boston College Athletics right here on WZBC Newton 90.3 FM. As BC's only student radio broadcasting organization, WZBC Sports brings a different viewpoint of college athletics to the table. Our student commentators know the campus, student athlete culture, and latest beat on the teams like no other media outlet, thanks to our dedicated coverage of Boston College sports. Check out our broadcast or weekly talk show schedules at www.wzbcsports.com and get a refreshing take on sporting events at the Heights and beyond.